They're the rocks. They're the vengeful spirits. Eyes of red.
Dated Kakakis, 1173, 8 seconds pre-death. A dark-eyed young woman of 15. Subject was reportedly mentally unstable since childhood.
Several hours later, Dalinar stood with Sadeus on a rock formation overlooking the tower itself. It had been a hard, long march. This was a distant plateau, as far eastward as they had ever struck. Plateaus beyond this point were impossible to take. The Parshendi could arrive so quickly that they had the Gemheart out before the Alethi arrived. Sometimes that happened with the tower as well.
I see it. They don't have the Gemheart out yet.
A ring of Parshendi were pounding on the chrysalis. Its shell was like thick stone, however. It was still holding.
You should be glad you're using my bridges, old friend. Those chasms might be too wide for a shard-bearer to jump.
Dalinar nodded. The tower was enormous. Even its huge size on the maps didn't do it justice. Unlike other plateaus, it wasn't level. Instead, it was shaped like an enormous wedge that dipped toward the west, pointing a large cliff face in the stormward direction. It was too steep, and the chasms too wide, to approach from the east or south. Only 3 adjacent plateaus could provide staging areas for assaults, all along the western or northwestern side. The chasms between these plateaus were unusually large, almost too wide for the bridges to span. On the nearby staging plateaus, thousands upon thousands of soldiers in blue or red were gathered, one color per plateau. Combined, they made for a larger force than Dalinar had ever seen brought against the Parshendi. The Parshendi numbers were as large as anticipated. There were at least 10,000 of them lining up. This would be a full-scale battle, the kind Dalinar had been hoping for, the kind that would let them pit a huge number of Alethi against a large Parshendi force.
This could be it, the turning point in the war. Win this day, and everything will change.
Dalinar shaded his eyes as well, helm under his arm. He noted with satisfaction that Sadeus's scouting crews were crossing to adjacent plateaus where they could watch for Parshendi reinforcements. Just because the Parshendi had brought so many at first didn't mean that there were no other Parshendi forces waiting to flank them. Dalinar and Sadeus wouldn't be taken by surprise again.
Come with me! Let us assault them together! A single grand wave of attack across 40 bridges!
Dalinar looked down at the bridge crews. Many of their members were lying exhausted on the plateau, awaiting, likely dreading, their next task. Very few of them wore the armor Sadeus had spoken of. Hundreds of them would be slaughtered in the assault if they attacked together. But was that any different from what Dalinar did, asking his men to charge into battle to seize the plateau? Weren't they all part of the same army? The cracks. He couldn't let them get wider. If he was going to be with Navani, he had to prove to himself he could remain firm in the other areas.
No, I will attack, but only after you've made a landing point for my bridge crews. Even that is more than I should allow. Never force your men to do as you yourself would not.
You charge the Parshendi!
I'd never do it carrying one of those bridges. I'm sorry, old friend. It's not a judgment of you. It is what I must do.
Sadeus shook his head, pulling on his helmet.
Yes. Well, it will have to do. We're still planning on dining together tonight to discuss strategy.
I assume so. Unless Elokar has a fit for both of us missing his feast.
Oh, he's going to have to grow accustomed to it. 6 years of feasting every night is growing tedious. Besides, I doubt he'll feel anything but elation after we win this day and lead the Parshendi down a full third of their soldiers. See you on the battlefield.
Dalinar nodded, and Sadeus jumped off the rock formation, dropping down to the surface below and joining his officers. Dalinar lingered, looking over at the tower. It was not only larger than most plateaus, it was rougher, covered with lumpish rock formations of hardened creme. The patterns were rolling and smooth, yet very uneven, like a field full of short walls covered by a blanket of snow. The southeastern tip of the plateau rose to a point overlooking the plains. The 2 plateaus they'd used were on the middle of the west side. Sadeus would take the northern one, and Dalinar would assault from one just below it, once Sadeus had cleared a landing for him.
We need to push the Parshendi to the southeast. Corner them there.
Everything hinged on that. The Chrysalis was up near the top, so the Parshendi were already situated in a good position for Dalinar and Sadeus to push them back against the cliff edge. The Parshendi would probably allow this, as it would give them the high ground. If a second Parshendi army came, it would be separated from the others. The Alethi could focus on the Parshendi trapped atop the tower while holding a defensive formation against the new arrivals. It would work. He felt himself growing excited. He hopped down to a shorter outcropping, then walked down a few step-like clefts to reach the plateau floor where his officers waited. He then rounded the rock formation, investigating Adolin's progress. The young man stood in his shard plate, directing the companies as they crossed Sadeus's mobile bridges onto the southern staging plateau. In the near distance, Sadeus's men were forming up for the assault. That group of armored bridge men stood out, preparing at the front center of the formation of bridge crews.
Why were they allowed armor? Why not the others as well?
It looked like Parshendi carapace. Dalinar shook his head. The assault began, bridge crews running out ahead of Sadeus's army, approaching the tower first.
Where would you like to make our assault, Father?
There.
Dalinar pointed to a spot on their staging plateau.
Get the men ready.
Adolin nodded. In the distance, bridge men began to die.
Heralds guide your paths, you poor men, as well as my own.
Kaladin danced with the wind. Arrows streamed around him, passing close, nearly kissing him with their painted scraggle-bark fletching. He had to let them get close, had to make the Parshendi feel they were near to killing him. He saw their lips moving as they chanted their song. Despite four other bridge men drawing their attention, despite the other men of Bridge 4 behind, armored with the skeletons of fallen Parshendi, most of the archers focused on Kaladin. He was a symbol, a living banner to destroy. Kaladin spun between arrows, slapping them away with his shield. A storm raged inside him, as if his blood had been sucked away and replaced with storm winds. It made his fingertips tingle with energy. Kaladin stayed at the front of the decoys, letting the arrows fall close, daring them, taunting them, demanding they kill him until the arrows stopped falling and the wind stilled. Kaladin came to rest, breath held to contain the storm within. The Parshendi reluctantly fell back before Sadeus's force, an enormous force as far as plateau assaults went, thousands of men and 32 bridges. Despite Kaladin's distraction, five bridges had been dropped, the men carrying them slaughtered. None of the soldiers rushing across the chasm had made any specific effort to attack the archers firing on Kaladin, but the weight of numbers had forced them away. A few gave Kaladin loathing gazes, making an odd gesture by cupping a hand to the right ear and pointing at him before finally retreating. The stormlight pulsed away from him. He had to walk a very fine line, drawing in enough stormlight to stay alive, but not so much that it was visible to the watching soldiers. The tower rose ahead of him, a slab of stone that dipped toward the west. The chasm was so wide that he'd worried the men would drop the bridge into the chasm as they tried to place it. On the other side, Sadeus had arrayed his forces in a cupping shape, pushing the Parshendi back away, trying to give Dalinar an opening. Perhaps attacking this way served to protect Dalinar's pristine image. He wouldn't make bridgemen die, not directly at least. Never mind that he stood on the backs of the men who had fallen to get Sadeus across. Their corpses were his true bridge.
Kaladin!
Kaladin spun. One of his men was wounded. He dashed up to Bridge 4. There was enough stormlight still pulsing in his veins to stave off exhaustion. He'd grown complacent. Six bridge runs without a casualty. He should have realized it couldn't last. He pushed through the collected bridgemen to find Scar on the ground, holding his foot, red blood seeping between his fingers.
Arrow in the foot! In the storming foot! Who gets hit in the foot?
Kaladin!
The bridgemen split as Moash brought Teft in, an arrow sprouting from his shoulder between Carapa's breastplate and arm.
Storm it!
Kaladin helped Moash set Teft down. The older bridgeman looked dazed. The arrow had dug deep into the muscle.
Somebody get pressure on Scar's foot and wrap it until I can look at it. Teft, can you hear me? I'm sorry, lad.
You're all right.
Kaladin hurriedly took some bandages from Lopin, then nodded grimly. Lopin would heat a knife for cauterizing.
Who else?
Everyone else is accounted for. Teft was trying to hide his wound. He must have taken it when we were shoving the bridge across.
Kaladin pressed gauze against the wound, then gestured for Lopin to hurry with the heated knife.
I want our scouts watching. Make sure the Parshendi don't try a stunt like they did a few weeks back. If they jump across that plateau to get at Bridge 4, we're dead.
He's all right. Sadius is keeping his men in this area. No Parshendi will get through.
The knife came, and Kaladin held it hesitantly, a curl of smoke rising from its length. Teft had lost too much blood. There was no risking a sewing. But with the twist of the knife, Kaladin risked some bad scarring. That could leave the aging bridge man with a stiffness that would hurt his ability to wield a spear. Reluctantly, Kaladin pressed the knife into the wound. Pain spren wiggled out of the ground, sinewy and orange. In a surgery, you could sew, but on the field, this was often the only way.
I'm sorry, Teft.
Dalinar waited beside his men, watching Sadius' soldiers fight.
He had better give us an opening. I'm starting to hunger for this plateau.
Fortunately, Sadius quickly gained his footing on the tower and sent a flanking force over to carve out a section of land for Dalinar. They didn't get entirely into place before Dalinar started moving.
One of you bridges, come with me!
Dalinar barreled to the forefront. He was followed by one of the 8 bridge teams Sadius had lent him. Dalinar needed to get onto that plateau. The Parshendi had noticed what was happening and had begun to put pressure on the small company in green and white that Sadius had sent to defend his entry area.
Bridge crew, there!
The bridgemen hustled into place, looking relieved that they wouldn't be asked to place their bridge under fire of arrows. As soon as they got into position, Dalinar charged across, the Cobalt Guard following. Just ahead, Sadius's men broke. Dalinar closed his gauntleted hands around Oathbringer's hilt as the sword formed from mist. He crashed into the surging Parshendi line with a wide, two-handed sweep that dropped 4 men. With a Cobalt Guard watching his back, Dalinar waded into the battle, breaking enemy ranks as only a Shardbearer could. Adolin crashed through a group of Parshendi nearby. His own squad of Cobalt Guardsmen a safe distance behind. He brought his whole army across. He needed to ascend quickly, pinning the Parshendi back so they couldn't escape. Sadius was to watch the northern and western edges of the tower. The rhythm of the battle sang to Dalinar. The thrill rose within him. Since the nausea didn't strike him, he carefully let the black thorn free and felt the joy of dominating a battlefield and the disappointment of lacking a worthy foe.
Where are the Parshendi Shardbearers?
He had seen that one in battle weeks ago. Why had he not reappeared?
Would they commit so many men to the tower without sending a Shardbearer?
Something heavy hit his armor, causing a small puff of stormlight to escape between the joints along his upper arm. Dalinar raised an arm to protect his face while scanning the near distance. He picked out a nearby rock formation where a group of Parshendi stood, swinging enormous rock slings with 2 hands. The head-sized stones crashed into Parshendi and Alethi alike, though Dalinar was obviously the target. Another one hit, smashing against his forearm, sending a soft jolt through the shard plate. The blow was strong enough to send a small array of cracks through his right vambrace. Dalinar threw himself into a plate-enhanced run. The thrill surged more strongly through him, and he rammed his shoulder into a group of Parshendi. Dalinar dodged to the side as a hail of stones fell where he'd been standing, then leaped onto a low boulder. He took 2 steps and jumped for the ledge where the rock throwers were standing. He grabbed its edge with one hand, holding his blade with the other. The men atop the small ridge stumbled back, but Dalinar heaved himself up just high enough to swing. Oathbringer cut at their legs and 4 men tumbled to the ground, feet dead. Dalinar dropped the blade, it vanished, and used both hands to heave himself onto the ridge. He landed in a crouch. Several of the remaining Parshendi tried to swing their slings, but Dalinar grabbed a pair of head-sized stones from a pile, easily palming them in his gauntleted hands, and flung them at the Parshendi. Dalinar spun, summoning Oathbringer, and looking over the battlefield, a spear wall of blue and reflective steel struggled against black and red Parshendi. Dalinar's men did well, pressing the Parshendi up to the southeast where they would be trapped. Adolin led this effort, shard plate gleaming. Dalinar held his shard blade above his head, reflecting sunlight. Glory spren sprouted around him, and his men showed their appreciation. It felt good to be winning again. He threw himself off the rock formation. He fell amid a group of Parshendi. He spun, slaying, remembering years spent fighting along Gavilar, winning, conquering. He and Gavilar had created something during those years, a solidified, cohesive nation out of something fractured, like master potters reconstructing a fine ceramic that had been dropped. Dalinar cut through the line of Parshendi to where the Kobold guard was fighting to catch up to him.
Repress them! Pass the word! All companies up the side of the tower!
Soldiers raised spears and runners went to deliver his orders. Dalinar spun and charged into the Parshendi, pushing himself and his army forward. To the north, Sadeus' forces were stalled. Dalinar's force would do the work for him. If Dalinar could spear forward here, he could slice the Parshendi in half, then crush the northern side against Sadeus and the southern side against the cliff edge. His army surged forward behind him, and the thrill bubbled within. It was power. Strength greater than shard plate. Vitality greater than youth. Skill greater than a lifetime of practice. A fever of power. Parshendi after Parshendi fell before his blade. He couldn't cut their flesh, yet he sheared through their ranks. The Parshendi started to break, running away or falling back. He grinned behind his near-translucent visor. This was life. This was control. Gavilar had been the leader, the momentum, and the essence of their conquest. But Dalinar had been the warrior. Their opponents had surrendered to Gavilar's rule, but the Blackthorn, he was the man who had scattered them, the one who had dueled their leaders and slain their best shard bearers. The entire Parshendi line bent, then shattered. The Alethi surged forward. Dalinar joined his men, charging at their forefront to run down the fleeing Parshendi war pairs. He reached a pair, one turned to hold him off with a hammer, but Dalinar cut him down in passing. Then grabbed the other Parshendi and threw him down with a twist of the arm. Grinning, Dalinar raised his blade high over his head, looming over the soldier. The Parshendi rolled awkwardly, holding his arm, no doubt shattered as he was thrown down. He looked up at Dalinar, terrified, fear spren appearing around him. He was only a youth. Dalinar froze, blade held above his head, muscles taut.
Those eyes, that face.
Parshendi might not be human, but their features, their expressions were the same. Save for the marbled skin and the strange growths of Carapace armor, this boy could have been a groom in Dalinar's stable. What did he see above him? A faceless monster in impervious armor? What was this youth's story? He would only have been a boy when Gavilar had been assassinated. Dalinar stumbled backward, the thrill vanishing. One of the Kobold guardsmen passed by, casually ramming a sword into the Parshendi boy's neck. Dalinar raised a hand, but it was over too quickly for him to stop. The soldier didn't notice Dalinar's gesture. He lowered his hand. His men were rushing around him, rolling over the fleeing Parshendi. The majority of the Parshendi still fought, resisting Sadeus on one side and Dalinar's force on the other. The eastern plateau edge was just a short distance to Dalinar's right. He had come up against the Parshendi force like a spear, slicing it through the center, splitting it off to the north and south. Around him lay the dead. Many of them had fallen face down, taken in the back by spears or arrows from Dalinar's forces. Some Parshendi were still alive, though dying. They whispered to themselves a strange, haunting song. the one they sang as they waited to die. Their songs rose like the curses of spirits on Soul's March. Dalinar had always found the death song the most beautiful of all he had heard from the Parshendi. It seemed to cut through the grunts, clangs, and screams of the nearby battle. As always, each Parshendi's song was in perfect time with that of his fellows.
Codes. Never ask of your men a sacrifice you wouldn't make yourself. Never make them fight in conditions you would refuse to fight in yourself. Never ask a man to perform an act you wouldn't soil your own hands doing.
He felt sick.
This isn't beautiful. This isn't glorious. This isn't strength or power or life.
This was revolting, repellent, and ghastly.
But they killed Gavilar.
Unite them.
Roshar had been united once. Had that included the Parshendi?
You don't know if you can trust the visions or not. They could be from the Night Watcher or the Voidbringers, or something else entirely.
In that moment, the objections felt weak. What had the visions wanted him to do? Bring peace to Alethkar? Unite his people? Act with justice and honor? Could he not judge the visions based on those results? He raised his shard blade to his shoulder, walking solemnly among the fallen toward the northern line, where the Parshendi were trapped between his men and Sadeus's. His sickness grew stronger.
What is happening to me?
Father!
Dalinar turned toward his son, who was running to him. The young man's plate was sprayed with Parshendi blood, but as always, his blade gleamed.
What do we do? About what?
Adolin turned, pointing to the west, toward the plateau south of the one from which Dalinar's army had begun their assault over an hour ago. There, leaping across the wide chasm, was an enormous second army of Parshendi. Dalinar slammed his visor up, fresh air washing across his sweaty face. He stepped forward. He'd anticipated this possibility, but someone should have given warning.
Where are the scouts? What is...
He felt a chill. Shaking, he scrambled toward one of the smooth, bulging formations of rock that were plentiful on the tower.
Father!
Dalinar climbed, seeking the top of the formation, dropping his shard blade. He crested the rise and stood looking northward over his troops and the Parshendi, northward toward Sadeus. Adolin climbed up beside him, gauntleted hand slapping up his visor.
Oh, no!
Sadeus's army was retreating across the chasm to the northern staging plateau. Half of it was across already. The eight groups of bridgemen he'd lent Dalinar had pulled back and were gone. Sadeus was abandoning Dalinar and his troops, leaving them surrounded on three sides by Parshendi, alone on the shattered plains. And he was taking all of his bridges with him.